The Weekly Connect on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Weekly Connect, your place to check in with what's happening in the world of blind and partially sighted people like you and me. It's your place to share your stories in your own words. It's the place to talk about the issues that affect you. And if it's something you talk about with friends, well, it's something we hope you'll talk about here. Hello, I'm Stephen Scott. And with Christmas right around the corner, we've stuffed our imaginary stockings full of goodies to share with you. Fancy a mince pie? Well, Madeline has very kindly recorded her first crack at making the British traditional festive fare rather than her usual German offering. More on that to come. By the sounds of things, though, the talking scales got the starring role in this kitchen drama.
Hello. Scale is ready. 70 grams. 105 grams. 183 grams. 181 grams. 190 grams.
How can it become more?
Wow, she's hammering those batteries. Hope they last her through to the big day, or there'll be trouble when the turkey gets to the weigh-in. And what is Christmas for, if not hunkering down with one of Madeline's mince pies, a warm mug of mulled wine, and the gentle flickering light of the TV screen? Maya Liam shares her top audio-described TV picks with us.
Carols at King's will be on. We have it blasting through the house every Christmas Eve. My mum absolutely loves it, and usually tries to sing along to some of them.
All that and more coming up on the show this week.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
So thanks for joining us again. This is The Weekly Connect. Good to have your company as we head towards Christmas. One of the things that a lot of us tend to do, perhaps as guys more than anything else, is make sure that we've bought our loved ones a present. But getting out and shopping, if you're blind or partially sighted, might not be as easy as it seems. And we thought we'd put that to the test this week. And to do that, I have my ably bodied assistant, but maybe not so visually able... Sean Preece, who is my co-host on Tech Talk. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Stephen.
And the reason we're doing this is because you actually haven't bought a present for your good lady, Sarah.
No, that's right. But as you said, as a guy, it's expected of me. I've left it to the last minute. I've got nothing.
Right. Well, we've decided that it might be a good idea for us to help you with this. And you and I have done some shopping, haven't we?
We have. Well, we attempted to.
Yeah, we took ourselves off to that there, London. Well, Sean, you wanted to come to London. Here it is.
How quick was that? That travel was amazing, Stephen.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Unlike this place, which is just jam-packed, I am very anxious.
I'm reliably informed we came on a quiet day.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like Hogwarts here. It is just packed with people. I don't know what's happening.
So, I've brought you here. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
Okay, I need a perfume present. It's a woman. It's got to be perfume.
That's very sexist.
It's also very true, isn't it?
Is that basically a case of you can't think of anything else to buy your good lady?
Yes, I am panicking and I'm running out of time. Perfume or chocolates?
Right, perfume it is then.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Right, okay, so we're just along here.
And oh, jeez!
Oh, what? You all right?
Yeah, that's right. It's only an immovable iron object. I didn't need that.
Oh, sorry about that, Sean. I've just realised we've just crossed the road without paying any attention to the road around us.
Well done. Please, we are not mobility officers.
Don't write
in. Do not try this at home.
No. I always remember. In fairness, there was no way of knowing that was the end of a road.
No, apart from all the cars on it and the beeping.
What do you think walking down a street like this, Sean, when you're walking about? Does this fill you with fear?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it's strange, but it really does. I just can't get my bearings on anything, you know? It's strange.
There's just so many people.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because it's unfamiliar to me anyway. I'm trusting you. which is always a big mistake.
Well, I haven't done this before, so I don't know why you're trusting me.
I know, but, you know, you are guiding me.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Oh, there we go, there's one.
One down. Do you think we are the only blind people on this street?
Yes. Can't see any others. Thank you.
Oh, festive music.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Oh, we need to capture that because it makes it feel festive. Well done. Oh, I feel all festive now.
Do you? I was just worried I was going to step in the...
Oh, have you done that as well?
I've walked into the busker's bucket.
Yeah, I've done that. I once kicked a guy, a homeless guy's cup of tea about 30 yards. I think by the end of it, I nearly got a gig in the England team. Right, that's John Lewis.
We're here.
We're here.
Oh, well done.
Right, so you wanted to go to John Lewis? Is this where you want to go?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Where's the door?
Yeah, I'm thinking that myself. Well, okay, we're on a corner, so let's try there. Hi there, how are you doing? Can you help us? We're looking to find... You work here, sorry, I should ask you.
Security.
Oh, right, okay.
I could lead you to information desk where...
Yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah. That would be great. Oh,
okay.
What is this, sorry?
Yeah, the information that is here.
Oh, this is information, okay. How are we supposed to find anything in this place?
I have no idea.
I can smell lots of lovely smells and perfumes and all kinds. I can smell perfume, but...
I'm looking for the search box.
Just keep pressing tab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Hi there. I'm looking for perfumes.
What is he looking for? What perfumes?
We're just looking for just female perfumes. It's just to get a range.
We've got perfumes scattered both sides. It's all done by brand. So
everything's kind of all over the main part of the shop.
No, it's literally just along this side and along this side. That's about it.
Right, okay.
But men and women mixed. It's all done by brand, though.
Oh, is it? Right,
any
okay.
Any brand in particular?
Any brand in particular?
Yeah, the cheapest one.
Hello, could you maybe help us? We're looking to buy some perfume, and my friend here is looking to buy the cheapest perfume he can find for his partner.
Can I just put in there? He says cheapest. He doesn't actually mean... I mean the most economical.
The most economical. For ladies you're after?
Yes.
Yes?
Charming, okay. Yeah. Cheapest, right.
So, the cheapest for ladies would be £25. And you get a body lotion in there as well.
You get a body lotion as well?
Oh, yeah. Right. That's my mum sorted, eh?
Yeah. So it's part of the Christmas promotion. You get gift sets at really good value.
Next one up
would be £41.50.
Right.
It's in a gift set as well. You get a body lotion, but in that set, the fragrance is a little bit bigger. So the £25 was 30ml. The £41.50 is a 50ml fragrance. So it is still good value for money.
Have you got any links?
No. For that, you'd have to go to Boots or Superdrug, not John Lewis.
Actually, you were fantastic, but I think I'll leave it for now and take another look around.
That's absolutely fine. Enjoy your day.
Thank you for your help.
No problem.
How are you doing, Sean? That was some really good stuff. I mean, you could have got a present easily there, and you had help.
I know, yeah, and I'm taking it into consideration.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, we managed to get out of the shop, Sean. That was lucky.
I know, yeah. But it's just as busy outside as it is inside, though.
It is incredible. And I kind of think, you know, I really don't want to play this up or play it down too much, but standing in a street like this is just so unnerving because there are so many shops, so many people,
You know, and this is the case up and down the country, isn't it? Every high street is the same at this time of year. And I'm just wondering, and I made the joke earlier about, you know, how many blind people we think are on this street. Actually, I don't think there probably is many.
No, probably not. And I'm just wondering, I mean, you know, it's so many noises and people pushing past and everything, but I'm just wondering if it's the same for, you know, sighted people as well. They can't enjoy this, surely.
Well, let's ask a couple. If what's here.
If you're brave enough.
What's it like for you at this time of year, going around doing Christmas shopping? Is it a nightmare with all the people and
all
the shops?
Yeah, it's a nightmare for sure, because I remember last week we were here and then there was this crowd. We were just bumping onto each other and then we had to move on the road. So it's a nightmare for sure. But it's all right. I mean, it's part of the holiday.
It's just such a busy place at Christmas and, you know, so many shops and lights and people. How do you cope with all of this and trying to do your shopping?
It's very confusing for us, because we just been here for the first time. We lost here for, this is the third time.
Are you lost right now?
No. We use Google Map all the time.
Ah, right, okay, so that's how you find your way. What's it like going shopping, finding your way, getting what you want?
Oh, I find it really difficult. My feet are so sore today. I've seen quite a few people with their sticks going around and people just don't notice them at all. I find it so difficult. I wouldn't be able to do it.
How do you do it?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I've never thought that to myself. I don't know.
That's great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, we're not alone, it seems. Everybody feels the same way. They all hate shopping in this street. In the new year. I actually feel better after that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, no one likes the hustle and bustle, but it is part of Christmas as well. So, you know, it's hard to tell, but it's not for me.
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's about, okay, so we've been out shopping and it's been a nightmare and we haven't really enjoyed it that much. But it is the whole thing about Christmas. And, you know, you've got kids. You know, they probably want to be doing stuff like this as well. And I guess you want to take them.
No. No. Well, look, it's changed now. I mean, just everything is online. And there is a part to this. If there was some sort of, you know, the music that's playing and going around and the general atmosphere is great. But for actual shopping, it's, I don't know, it is stressful for me.
Right, so what you're saying is you want to go home.
Yes, now.
Shall we do that magical travel thing again?
Do it.
Well, that was an experience and a half. Not so much the shopping, Sean, more the moment when you didn't buy the cheapest perfume you found.
I know, this must never go out on air.
Yeah, well, a bit late for that, but thank you for that, Sean. I don't think Shanice will ever forget us in a hurry. And thanks to everyone who took part in that for us. Maybe this will be the start of a new Christmas tradition. You never know. Sean Preece, thank you.
Thank you.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's high time for a little smackerel of something. I'm getting a bit hungry here. Let's hear how Madeline got on with her mince pies, and hopefully we'll get one or two here in the studio.
Hello, my name is Madeline Mann, and I'm going to bake traditional mince pies today.
Because I have never baked mince pies before. Because I'm from Germany, and in Germany we bake Christmas Stollen.
But today I'm going to make mince pies. This is the recipe from Mary Berry's Christmas collection, which is available as a talking book or in Braille from RNIB Library. These are going to make 18 pies. Right, now I'm in my kitchen. And I have my little helper with me, my little seven-year-old daughter, Avneet, who's going to help me to make the mince pies today. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
Good. How do we start? Let's start. I have a glass of mincemeat. So, which we are taking, and we are putting the mincemeat in one bowl to use that for the baking. Do you want to get the bowl for the mincemeat?
Yeah.
Boom. I'm going to fill the whole mincemeat into a bowl because I find it easier to remove it into the mince pies afterwards. So, now we have to do the pastry. Where's the flour, Lito? Can you find the flour?
Of course.
Here. That's nice, thank you. So, we are going to measure. I've got a talking kitchen scale. We are going to measure the flour in the scale. That is available from RNIB. And I find it helps a lot.
Hello.
Wait.
Scale is ready.
So we need 175 grams of flour. You can hear how it talks. Listen. 70
grams.
Yeah, we need 175.
200.
230. Oh dear,
grams.
That's a bit too much, isn't it?
I'll put it back in.
194 grams. 181 grams.
Just
need to
cover.
6 more grams.
Mm-hmm.
179 grams.
Oh, you know what? That's good enough now. That's okay. That will do. Now we need to measure 3 ounces of butter for 75 grams.
I'll get it, Mummy.
Scale is ready.
Okay, I got the butter and I got the knife. 78.
77 grams. Mm. 75 grams.
Wow, we've got the butter. And I put the butter in tiny cubes.
Zero.
And I add them to my flour in the bowl.
Can I help you with the orange bit?
Yes, you can. Now we have to grate orange into the bowl, Avneet. You can take the grater. It says finely grated orange.
Zero.
Wait, now I need to turn it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise...
The juice will come in.
We don't want the juice, we just want the rind of it. It's very Christmassy because the smell of the orange
makes
it very Christmassy. Mm-hmm. I'm holding the grater in my left hand.
Can we do an angel on top?
We will do.
Yeah.
And I'm holding the orange in my right hand, and over the fine side of the grater, I am moving the orange. And peel the peel off. Almost done. And then you can eat the orange afterwards, all 3 children. We don't need that anymore now.
Now, do I need to mix it together?
You don't, I will. Oh, we don't have everything yet. We have forgotten the caster sugar and the egg. You can put the egg in the bowl if you want. Nito, can you concentrate on doing your...
Yeah, I got my egg.
Good, you need to put the egg. Pour the egg
into this
mixture.
Okay.
Thank you. So now we have everything what we need. Now we need to knead it. So I don't like using a food processor because I think it's far more easy to use your hands and to knead. You can feel how out of the flour and the butter and the egg, what is all separate. See, Nito? Slowly, very slowly, you can make the dough ball. Now, 2 minutes into me actually making the dough, I can feel how everything is beginning to mix. I can still feel the orange bits. Thank you. My little helper. So I have got a lovely kneaded dough. Now I'm taking a little bit of flour and I want powder around the dough ball so that everything is nicely full of flour. And now I need my lovely rolling pin.
And let's powder.
And we are going
let's do
to
powder around it.
Yeah, we are doing powder around the rolling pin as well. I have a wooden rolling pin. Wait a minute, let me feel it. Still a little bit too thick. We also have to have it everywhere similar thick.
There.
Done?
Yes. Now I have to make
now myself. You have the fluted cut up. Mm-hmm. 18 mince pies. And remember, mm-hmm. we have always to press it quite hard so that it's actually cutting it rather than just touching it. So now we are actually, we have the dough on the surface and we cut out the mince pie shape and put it into the form. Right, we have now to put mincemeat into the pies with a little teaspoon. And the children, my youngest and who's 4 years old, and my other child who's 7 years old are cutting now various different Christmas shapes. Mm-hmm. We have a bell, an angel, and a Christmas tree. And the oven, I preheat on 200 degrees. I have a little tactile mark on 200 degrees, 180 and 250.
How about you make
to tell me that these are to tell me that these are the temperatures I usually always require.
Okay, that's a good one. Let's
now I'll do a Christmas tree.
So let's put it on it.
Chico's really good.
Chico's good.
Yeah.
Well done, Timmy. It's hard work, but afterwards it will be tasty.
Yeah, really yummy. Hard work for a really nice reason.
All right, we have only one more left.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm doing.
Me too. So, I open my preheated oven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really light. Oh, it's really hot.
Wow, 12 minutes.
You have to wait for 12 minutes.
But it's 5 minutes to free. So, at about 10 minutes, this will come out. Okay, 15 minutes are over and I've had the mince pie in the oven, so I'm going to take them out now. And I use a little fork to check whether the tops of it are crisp. And just take the tray out and leave it here to cool. Okay, and what I have done now is have a little sieve here with icing sugar and just put it all over the mince pies to dust them with icing sugar because they say that it's a good thing to do. And now what we have to do is to cool them or let them cool, and hopefully we'll have them for tea this afternoon, well, in preparation for Christmas.
Thanks, Madeline. Those pies sound lovely. Looking forward to trying them out. Now, at this time of year, cooking is one thing, but settling down with a good book is another. That is probably the most joyous thing. But what to read? Well, we've got some suggestions for you, thanks to our listeners. Red Zell is the new host of Read On Air, and we thought we would get him into the studio, along with Stuart Pearce, who's one of our regular listeners, to tell us about their suggestions for Christmas books. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Red, I'll start with you. You are so into books that you're even getting a whole show on RNIB Connect Radio, I believe.
Absolutely. It sort of justifies the huge amount of time that I spend listening to the Talking Books from the Talking Books Library. So my wife can't call me lazy anymore. I'm actually doing research.
That's what it's all about. Stuart, you love books. Is it audiobooks for you?
It is audiobooks, yeah. I use the Talking Book Library as well. Fantastic service.
Do you have a favourite author that you like to read?
At the moment I'm doing Sue Townsend. I was about a few years younger than Adrian Mole, so I kind of latched on as a kid, and then when I lost my sight I just thought I need to go back and read them again, and I'm just going through them now and they're just fantastic, especially as audios, they're fantastic.
Yeah, so Adrian Mole for you, but can I pin you on a genre?
Oh, God, I've got all sorts I'm interested in. I like a bit of history. Recently, I've been reading a guy called Linwood Barclay. I've been reading Tom Clancy, all sorts. George Orwell, just recently as well. So,
wow.
I like a bit of fiction, but I will try anything and see what it's like.
Yeah, I love crime. I always have. It was reading an Agatha Christie book that made me want to become an author in the first place. So I will always go back to any of those golden age of crime books. I love Marjorie Allingham, Dorothy L. Sayers. More modern writers, Colin Dexter, the Inspector Morse books, which I think are actually better than a TV series. and contemporary crime fiction as well. I just, you know, anything that comes out that I hear a review of, I will go looking for first at the Talking Books Library, and if I can't get it there, then more and more books are being simultaneously published as audiobooks too. So I've always got something on the go. I like spy fiction as well, John le Carré.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a big John Steinbeck fan. I'll try and read a John Steinbeck book at least one a year, just because I think he's the only author who can consistently move me to tears. He writes so beautifully.
Now, I know both of you have got so many books that you're probably reading at the moment, as well as ones you've read and thoroughly enjoyed from R&IB and other places. But what would you recommend for someone over this period of time? Because it is that downtime, isn't it, where a lot of people, especially people who live alone, who maybe don't like Christmas, there are a lot of those people, you know, who want to shut Christmas out. And with a book, that's probably a good thing. So what would you both recommend?
Funnily enough, actually, I've just put in a load of orders for books that I'm going to give people for Christmas. I really enjoyed one of the Booker shortlisted books called His Bloody Project by Graham McRae Burnett. It's surprisingly readable for a Booker nominated book. So that's being given to a couple of friends for Christmas. My wife and my daughter are both keen physicists, so they're getting a book by Carlo Rovelli called Reality Is Not What It Seems, which should keep them quiet in the corner for ages. And a bit of a staple, actually, that I give to people. It's a book by Louis de Bernier, who wrote Captain Corelli's Mandolin. And he wrote a beautiful collection of short stories called Notwithstanding, which are set on the Surrey-Sussex border, which is where I grew up. And they're just lovely snippets of English country life. And they make you smile, they make you, you know, they pull at the heartstrings. And it's, I love short stories, and I think a lot of people do, because you can just disappear off into a little world for an hour or so and then come back and help me doing the washing up.
Yeah, I must say, one thing I learned this year about books, which I was fascinated about, was that you could speed them up. Mm. I didn't know this feature existed for a long time, and it meant that I had to trawl through The Girl on the Train at a full 10 hours and 50 minutes. It had been quicker getting the train, actually. Stuart, what about you? What's your recommendations?
I would say at the moment I'm recommending a book called Thunder Dog, which is truly amazing. It's about a guy who was stuck in the Twin Towers the day this plane struck. So it's an amazing read. It talks about his journey out of the Twin Towers, but also about the way he grew up in America and how he lost his sight from birth. It's just an amazing story.
It's so Michael Hingson, isn't it? Michael Hingson's book.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Awesome. Anything by Bill Bryson or Ben Elton is a good recommendation for me as a good way of getting into the talking books. One of the things about talking books that I found, there's a book called Inconceivable by Ben Elton, and it's brilliant because it's done by, like, from a male and female perspective. And what Talking Books did was got a male and a female to read it, and that makes such a huge difference. It really makes it sound so much more realistic.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of Talking Books, actually. It brings a book to life in a new way, doesn't it? Yeah. Really great suggestions. Well, you know, happy reading to both of you, and thank you for joining us, and also a very Merry Christmas when it comes.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Now, disappearing into a book can be the perfect antidote to an overdose of uncles and aunts or nieces and nephews, so thank you to Red and Stuart for those recommendations. Stuart, I think you're sounding like a total bookworm, or at least you're about to become one. Talking books are a real comfort to many of us, but what if your reading material is a little more mundane? Bills, statements, labels in your shopping. What kind of support is available to you? Well, the lucky people of Milton Keynes have a fantastic resource on the doorstep, and they got in touch to nominate their Society of the Week, the Milton Keynes Reader Service.
Hello, I'm Karen, and I work for Milton Keynes Reader Service. We started in 1988. At present, we have about 120 service users and about 100 volunteers. And every service user receives a slightly different service.
My name is June. I have a visual impairment with glaucoma and macula.
I go and visit the service user in their own home and we discuss what their needs are, but we also find out about what their interests are, what they've done in the past if they've now retired, so that when I go away, I've already got my band of volunteers, so I also know what their interests are, what they like, and so we try to provide a match.
I first found the reader service with Karen, who offered to bring somebody to see me. Karen has a habit of being able to match people very well. When she came with Geraldine, we have to give a little summary of ourselves so we know one another. Geraldine happened to be saying, she was saying where she had worked, and it turned out she worked with my daughter. And, of course, we had a mutual interest straight away. I had terrible trouble trying to sort my bills, and she very kindly went all through and made me a folder with telephone numbers and important dates that I could keep control.
We provide a face-to-face reading and writing service. A volunteer will go into the service user's own home and help maybe with their correspondence, fill in forms, or they might do something like reading for pleasure. They might read the newspaper, they might read a book. Some people go in and do crosswords. Some people go in and play Scrabble.
Geraldine has become more of a friend because she comes every week. We get straight down to doing any correspondence. We always have a coffee and a biscuit. Then we talk over local topics, news and family. I don't know what I would do without her. I'm 90 years old now. I'm really grateful to meet anybody, because I can't go out on my own. I'm not allowed to. And so, therefore, I have to rely on people coming in to see me. Karen also arranged for me to have a shopper. I can go with them, but I can't read sell-by dates. I can't read prices. I go once a fortnight with her. She has got so well to know what I shop for that sometimes she'll say to me, "Did you want so-and-so this week?"
We also are very happy to provide little one-off facilitation services. So maybe somebody would like to go to the theatre and they give us a call and I will organise a volunteer to pick them up and then sit with them and look after them whilst they're within the theatre and then take them home. My mother was diagnosed with macular degeneration about 15 years ago, and it was quite early for her. She was in her mid-60s. The job at the reader service came along, and I took it up about 6 years ago. And quite frankly, I love it because I meet fabulous people by going to meet all the service users, and also we have a great band of volunteers. Hopefully, once we've got this match, we know that this sort of relationship between the service user and volunteer will last for years. I think the longest one we've got running at the moment is people that have been seeing each other for 20 years.
I'll tell you another thing I find they do. Arrange meetings for the volunteers and the people they look after. So we're kept up to date with local things, different benefits and things that are around. Yeah, I'm very, very grateful to Geraldine. She will take me to these meetings because it does mean you meet other people and you meet people that are in the same position as yourself who can't manage on their own and have to rely on other people.
We try to get our service users and volunteers all together 4 times a year with big coffee mornings and lots of yummy cakes. Everybody realises they're part of quite a big organisation. I think we've got about 240 people all together and we're growing continuously.
I don't know what I would do without the reader service because they have been so helpful.
an amazing initiative there. The founder, Liz Rowe, told us that their constitution stipulates the chairperson has to be a service user, probably why they offer so much practical help. She also told us about her Christmas tradition.
I've only got a sister, and she's going to Siberia for Christmas because she's got relatives. We always go to a friend in Coventry for Christmas who I've known for 50 years when we were young girls who were at teacher training college together. And I always take the champagne.
Now, that is the kind of tradition many of us can appreciate. I wonder what Karen in Milton Keynes would make of our next reader if he turned up to go through someone's gas bill. Please let me introduce partially sighted storyteller extraordinaire Giles Abbott and his reading of a Russian Christmas tale.
The guest had only been checked in a minute or so before he'd been shown up to his room, and the landlord had gone back to his bar. His empty bar. And only minutes later, the guest came storming out like all the other guests, demanded his money back, and left and stormed out of the inn and continued down that long road between Moscow and Omsk. Even though it was midwinter, that guest, like all the others, would rather brave the road than stay a night in this landlord's inn. Once this inn had been thriving, had been bustling, had been busy. But now, it was overrun with rats. Guests had got snuggled into their beds and then shrieked because rats had run across their feet or bitten their faces. And then the word had got out, and the landlord had watched the rats eating all of his food, driving out all of his guests, and destroying his business. And that poor landlord was in despair. Soon he would have to close the doors forever. Deep midwinter was usually his busiest time, because all the drovers would be making that journey to the big city to sell the big cattle, lamb and sheep and beef. And they'd be driving them down the road, and they'd stop at his inn for the night. And the landlord, in the good times, had always loved to ask them, "What are you driving, sir? Big cattle or small cattle?" And he'd always loved to watch them leave the next morning, this long line of animals with one drover driving them. But now, they just went straight past him. Well, it was one night, and he was desperate. And from sheer gutsiness, I suppose, a desperate gasp of pride, he had made some beautiful, rich beef and beetroot soup, though he expected no customers. And there he was at the bar, stirring its beautiful purple-red, almost glass-like quality, the shine on it. It was a good borscht. And then to his surprise, the door opened. And there in the doorway was a man with his huge white beard stamping the snow off his boots and pulling his gloves off to rub the warmth back into his fingers. And he came up to the bar, and the landlord was astonished. He said, can I help you, sir? Would you like a room for the night? And the man laughed.
No, I'm not stopping for the night.
Well, can I offer you a bowl of soup or a glass of vodka? And the old man said, I
would love to. I just came in for the warmth, but I have no money.
And the landlord said, and I have no customers, so let me treat you to a bowl of borscht and a glass of vodka. Well, the old man accepted and said, thank you very much, and said, just out of interest, if I did have money, how much would this have cost me? Nothing more than 2 rubles. And the landlord said, are you driving big cattle or small cattle? And that man, with his big white beard, winked and said, small cattle. Anyway, I must be off now. And he left. And the landlord smiled as he left, and that smile faded as he said goodbye to what he thought was probably his last customer. And then there came a noise, a rushing, a scurrying, a squeaking, and then a great torrent of brown furry animals came running out of every single crevice. They jumped from behind the bar, they came from behind the optics, they came from under his feet. A great river of rats swarmed all over the floor of the pub and past the landlord and out of that door. And the landlord was astonished, the torrent of them. And then he ran out to sea and he stood on the road and he saw that old man with his white beard and his white hair being followed by a column of hundreds of rats. And then he heard that voice saying, I told you, I was driving the small cattle. There were no more rats in that pub. They were gone. They never came back. And what's more, business after this, for some reason, was better than ever. People came flooding back. Torrents of guests came back, booking in, staying for extra, telling their friends. And suddenly that pub, that inn, was booming again. That year, that landlord did so well that he was able to fulfill every Russian's dream. And before beginning to farm it, he decided to go to the great cathedral to pray for good luck. And so he went to the great city, he went to the great cathedral, and there were all the icons, the paintings of the saints, there was the Holy Mother, there was the Holy Child. Now, he was looking for a particular saint, the patron saint of new ventures, Saint Nicholas. And he saw the icon of that beloved saint, an old man with a big white beard and a bit of a glint in his eye. And this man had a candle which he lit, and as all the other pilgrims did, he was pressing that candle into the trays of sand underneath the icons and getting ready to make his prayer. And as he pushed that candle into the sand, his fingers touched something. He investigated, and he found coins to the exact value of 2 rubles. He looked up at the icon in astonishment, and he swore it winked at him. And then he heard a laugh in his head. He heard, ho, 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 ho. And he realized who that old drover had been the day before his fortune changed. And he went back to his pub, realizing that, yes, Father Christmas can bring you things that you want, but sometimes, and perhaps this is more precious, he can take away the things you don't want. Happy Christmas.
This is the Weekly Connect on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, for many of us, the memory of a childhood Christmas surrounded by friends and family can be a sharp contrast to the reality of facing the Christmas season alone. Even if you get along perfectly fine all year, when the lights go up and everyone's making plans, it can even bring the best person down. And the truth is that as we get older, it's more likely that this is what we have to look forward to. But one UK-wide charity has a plan.
Weekly Connect.
Hi, my name is Julia.
I'm on RNIB Connect Radio.
We're a local charity and we have various houses across the UK. I'm currently working on a companionship at Christmas campaign. It sort of started off with the fact that about 49%, so nearly half of older people, said that all they really wanted for Christmas was some companionship of other people on Christmas Day. You know, something really simple. And a lot of them said that it was one of the hardest times of the year, really. So we thought to ourselves, well, you know, as a charity, we really wanted to step in and do something about that. This has been running for a number of years now. A lot of the time, people will go throughout the December period and meet people within their local community that they'll, you know, remain friends with throughout the year to follow. And that's really what we're all about. We always welcome anybody to ring up. And so I'll just speak to them, find out a little bit more about them, what they usually do, where they are, what sort of events they'd like to go to. And then I'll obviously find a house that is local to them. And then they usually invite them in for a cup of tea beforehand, get to meet some of the residents, get to have a little bit of a feel for what the house is all about. And so that when they go on the day, they feel a little bit more relaxed and they know a couple of people. I've recently had a man call up and he's got a guide dog. Our residents are quite keen to then meet him, and they're really quite keen to meet the dog as well because he seems like quite a lovely, lovely little chap. All of the houses, you know, put on different activities. A lot of the most popular ones would be, you know, some carol singing and mince pies, something as simple as that, really, to, you know, cake baking and people coming in and having meals. And they've got shows that are put on. We even have tried this year to have larger sort of community focused events, which included sort of markets, magic afternoons, winter wonderlands. We even had a murder mystery. We've sort of tried to make as many different events as possible for people to come and join in on, you know, throughout the December period and not just Christmas Day, like I said.
I found that a lot of the people that I have been speaking to really enjoy just having that initial chat as well. We end up actually having quite a long conversation on the phone, and they end up telling me all about things that they do or their hobbies, and that's been quite enjoyable for me. I've had a lady who, you know, after I went back to her, she'd said to me, you know, I really wasn't looking forward to Christmas at all, and I was feeling a little bit depressed. And now that you've mentioned all of these things that you've booked me into, and that I'm going to be able to go and meet some people of my own age and get out and about for a little bit and do some carol singing and have a lovely meal out, she said that she was really looking forward to the Christmas period, and she was feeling really excited even. That made me feel really happy that somebody who otherwise might have been alone or really unhappy on the day is actually going to be making some new friends and having a few laughs and having a good time. That really just makes it all worthwhile, I guess.
Abbey Fields Companionship at Christmas is open to all. Do get in touch with them if you like the sound of what they have on offer. We'll share their details on the RNIB Connect Radio Twitter feed, or you can email us at theweeklyconnect@rnib.org.uk, and we'll put you in touch.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect
on RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, the holiday season and TV just go hand in hand today, don't they? And now with so much audio-described programmes on offer, Maya, Liam and Laura took a look through the listings to choose their top picks.
I know you're like a reality TV junkie, but is there anything specific that you might look forward to? Do you watch lots of comedy shows, or do you just sort of stick to the reality TV at Christmas?
I tend to watch reality TV. I watch things like Miranda, like often there's a Christmas special of that. Obviously that's finished now. But things like that, I tend to watch. Also a really good Christmas film. I love a good Christmas film. And if it's audio described as well, then that's a massive bonus.
There seems to be plenty of those coming up. So Christmas Eve, I think, should always be quite, you know, Christmassy.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely Christmassy. Lots of focus on Christmas. And actually, it is looking very focused on Christmas. So Channel 4 is full-on family Christmas based on Christmas Eve. So right. They've got Scrooged, followed by The Snowman and the Snow Dog, followed by Muppet Christmas Carol, and then We're Going on a Bear Hunt, followed by Gogglesprogs. So really, I mean, that's just sit down in front of the TV with your kids and not get up for hours.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
That really, really is. I mean, my little cousin, he's seven, so he's the youngest. I've got four cousins and he's the youngest. He loves The Snowman, and I'm sure he will be sitting right in front of it, glued to the TV. I loved it as a kid as well. I might even cheekily turn it on if no one in my family's looking to see that I'm watching it. The Muppets. I absolutely love The Muppets. I sing all the songs, everything. Last New Year's Eve, we even ended up singing The Muppets theme tune. Yeah, we ended up all singing The Muppets theme tune. So I think that is literally just don't move. And as for Gogglesprogs, yes. Just yes. I love Gogglebox because, to be perfectly honest, like my family watching Gogglebox is like they're on Gogglebox because they comment on what the Gogglebox families are all saying. But that's why I love it so much. It's so relatable.
So Channel 4 is the family-friendly place to be on Christmas Eve, it seems.
Definitely, yeah.
Otherwise, if you're a bit more traditional, there is Carols from Kings on BBC Two.
I would imagine Carols at Kings will be on, definitely, yeah. In the house. We have it blasting through the house every Christmas Eve. My mum absolutely loves it and usually tries to sing along to some of them.
Oh, in the way that mums do.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's very, very, it's very endearing and all of that. But I always tell her not to sing over the solo, the beginning bit.
For Once in Royal in David City,
yes,
for example.
Yeah, yes. I always tell her not, I say, don't sing over this bit because this is really lovely. I want to hear how they do. So, yeah, I ask her not to sing.
That one's not audio described, but that's okay really when it's a carol service.
Oh,
do
that's
you think?
Fine. There's nothing really to see. In fact, I don't think Carols at Kings is something you really watch. I think it's more something you listen to.
And perhaps join in if you're your mum.
Well, exactly. or me. I'm not going to say I don't join in beyond time too.
Christmas Day. Christmas Day is always the biggie, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've always got your big Christmas specials. You've got your big traditional Christmas films.
Yeah.
So, for example, this year, BBC One headlines, Frozen, followed by The Great Christmas British Bake Off.
Yeah. I will be tuning into that, yeah. I love Mel and Sue. I love Mel and Sue. They're like my two favourite people, especially Sue Perkins. I absolutely love her. Yeah.
Doctor Who Christmas special, mm-hmm. Strictly Come Dancing Christmas special, mm-hmm. Call the Midwife Christmas special.
Wow.
So it's a full-on lineup on BBC One. Do you watch Christmas telly on Christmas Day?
Do you know, yes, actually. Sometimes we do. It really depends what time it's on. But I do remember last year we sat and watched Home Alone. All 13 of my family members all sat around and watched it.
Well, you'll be pleased you can watch it again this year. That's on Channel 4.
Brilliant. Brilliant. and as for kind of classic Disney Christmas films, one of my favourite Disney films is Frozen. I'm an absolute Disney nutcase. So I will be trying to tune into that at some point, if I can.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of members of my family that really, really like it, and we all sing the end song very badly.
Aww.
It's quite sweet.
Now, one of the ones that I'm a bit disappointed doesn't have audio description is It's a Wonderful Life. And I know that features a lot on people's This Is My Top Christmas Film, if
yeah.
you're sighted. But I didn't realise it wasn't audio described, so I don't know if it comes on the radar of people with sight loss.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not one that I've watched or anything. It rings a bell. You know, my family have spoken about it various times before. They've never spoken about this one in the same way, so I haven't really... I've heard of it, I think. But it's not great that it's not audio described.
It's an old film, and given that they've done the Carry On films and stuff like that, you'd think they could go back and do it, because it's on every year.
Yeah, and also I think with the advances in technology that we have now, I don't think there's any excuse for there not to be audio description on everything. You know, like, subtitles now are on absolutely everything without fail, and it would be really lovely if audio description was just there and you could just turn it off or on for the whole TV set.
Now, given that you're such a Disney nut, you might have to toss a coin, because you're going to have to toss up Frozen or The Lion King.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, they're both on at the same time on Christmas Day. What do you think?
Do you know, I have absolutely no idea, Laura, to be honest with you. I have no clue. I mean, I'll probably just watch whichever one my family want to watch. Yeah. More than happily, we'll watch one of them.
And you'll be really pleased that The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is on Boxing Day.
Right. Do you know what? I love that film. That is my absolute... It's up there with one of my top five favourite films. It's fantastic. And the good thing is, on Boxing Day, no one really does very much of anything, do they? So I should be able to get away with sneaking off to my bedroom for like 2.5 hours to sit and watch it.
Obviously, it's a pretty epic fantasy.
Yeah.
Is fantasy like that, is that good with audio description?
Do you know, yes, actually. I mean, there's the cute little beavers, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, there's the snow, there's Santa Claus, there's the whole world in the wardrobe. And I read that at about 6 or 7, and I went to see the film when I was 12, and I remember literally being like, "Mum, I'm going to push the little children out of the way to go and see it." and that's the closest I'd get to fantasy, but actually it works really, really well.
That takes us all the way up to Boxing Day. There's other things on as well, obviously.
Yeah.
And you know, people can get an idea of what they've got through their TV guide.
That's really good.
Well, we're nearly there. Christmas is only days away, but we couldn't leave you without a Christmas tune, as performed by our best friends in our Pause for Thought special.
I don't get presents anymore at Christmas. Everybody else buys presents for Skye. So when they come round, or when I see them at Christmas, it's, "Oh, here's a present for Skye." She's got probably about 5 or 6 tuggies. And she really loves cuddly toys, so she's probably got about 6 or 7 cuddly toys as well. And I know she'll get more for Christmas. She's got more toys than anybody. And she's, but
What I buy her is she has fish jerky tiddlers, or she has fish skins, dried fish skins. And those she really likes because they make a big noise when you crunch them. And she seems to like making the noise with them as much as anything else.
I do not treat the dog as if it's a child or a human being. It's the same old for them. None of these special treats and things like that. You know, they don't need it. All they need is your cuddles and love. I mean, I think sometimes people go far too over the top and far too silly in their behaviour.
My guide dog, Kerry. I think she's bought enough through the year, but I did say to my partner only a few days ago, shall we, I mean, this is very simple, shall we put a great big red ribbon round her neck? And he thought that was a very good idea. And she's not a great lover of toys, but she does love soft toys, particularly soft toys with a squeaker. So I intend to go and buy her one or two new toys that squeak.
What I'll be getting my guide dog, Ella, for Christmas is a wubba. It's a egg-shaped toy with a long tail, and as you can hear, she absolutely loves it. After 6 months of her playing with the current one, it's really showing signs of wear and tear, and we'll be having plenty more squeaky fun in the new year.
I don't buy my dog Zodie anything different. She'll have her bone that she has maybe once a fortnight bought from Wilko's. Or he may have one of them. But it wouldn't be because it was Christmas. Just because it fell in with that, you know, weekly or fortnightly bone.
I don't generally really need much of an excuse to buy presents for, well, Joyce now or Bliss when I had her. But if I do see something in the shop that I like and it happens to be near Christmas time, I will get it. I will be strict with myself and resist the temptation to do what I always do, which is to give them to her a lot earlier than that.
So that's it from us. Sean Preece will be your host on Boxing Day and the first show of 2017 while I take a well-earned rest. And I'll see you in the new year. Thank you for being with us on the Weekly Connect. And there's nothing more for me to say than Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope you get everything you wish for, including more of the Weekly Connect. Thanks for listening.